Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, as per usual. And we have a very cool guest today, one of our favorites. He's now been on here a handful of times, which is awesome. And he was kind enough to come on again today. Mark Berman of the New York Post joins us, of course, the longtime beat writer for the Knicks. And Gavin, we start off with a little coach search talk.
Yeah, specifically, we get into Jason Kidd. Mark just had a story that featured some reporting on Kidd potentially being second in line behind Tom Thibodeau in the Knicks coaching search. Obviously, Kidd had sort of an acrimonious ending at his previous two spots in Milwaukee and Brooklyn. So we get into all that, plus a little bit on the NBA draft and whether or not Carmelo Anthony will be making a return to New York next year, and finish up with an overall assessment of Leon Rose and the job he's done so far. All that and more next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good! RJ brings the Knicks to the
rim. What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam across the lane. Knox fouls from behind, count it, and one to Trier. Trier drives down.
All right, welcome into Locked On Knicks. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We have a very special guest with us today, Mark Berman of the New York Post. Mark, how are you doing? I know it's been a few months since we last checked in. How are you holding up? It sounds like it's sort of status quo for you at the moment, since normally you're working from home around this time anyway. But how's everything treating you with life right now?
Yeah, the Knicks usually have a very long off season, so during that off season, we're working from home. But you know, listen, the going to the draft and the lottery, the Chicago Combine, the summer league, all that stuff won't happen. So it's been difficult, but you know, the Knicks are still active, even though it's still a long way to the draft. But the Knicks usually keep you busy.
Yeah. Kind of depressing to think we would have been in the middle of summer league right now had everything been going as normal. But you take what you can get, and what we have instead of summer league right now is an exhaustive coaching search. I know you wrote an article about Jason Kidd and his candidacy, how he's kind of a favorite of Worldwide West and Leon Rose because of his connections to the 12-13 season with the Knicks, how that affected Melo, who obviously was a Rose client, and you know, just his general reputation from that. I mean, what are you hearing on the coaching search front? Do you think that Kidd is legitimately up there with Tom Thibodeau as a potential candidate, and has anybody else stood out, you know, in what you've heard as far as candidates the Knicks are really considering?
Listen, Tom Thibodeau is still the favorite, but Jason Kidd at least has some credentials. I mean, there are other guys they're interviewing, like Thursday, they're interviewing Fleming from Chicago. I mean, these are just courtesy interviews. Pat Delaney in Orlando, another assistant coach. But Jason has some juice. You mentioned how Leon and Wes saw how amazing Jason led the Knicks in that 54-win season, Carmelo having his best season. And then Jason left town, well, left to go across the river to Brooklyn to coach the Nets, and the Knicks fell apart, and they haven't recovered. So the fact that Giannis loves him, and I think the edge that Kidd, the only edge in my eyes that Kidd would have over Thibodeau, is that maybe more players, free agent types, would want to play for Jason over Thibodeau, whose reputation, quite frankly, took a hit in Minnesota despite breaking that playoff drought. You know, he definitely did not get along with some of those young players like Towns and Wiggins. So that would be the only edge. But I think Jason brings a lot of risk, including loyalty, including from what I've told and what I wrote. He was very stubborn in Milwaukee also. You know, the offense was very basic, and they wanted him to maybe jazz it up a little bit, but Jason wants to do it his way. I still think Tom is the clear favorite, but you know, Wes, you know, has represented Thibodeau before, so you know, just because he likes Jason doesn't mean he thinks Jason would be the better fit in New York.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of where we wanted to go, Mark. Jason Kidd, and it's interesting. We just had Kane Pittman on, who covered that team the last two seasons, and also was around during Jason Kidd's tenure, and he talked a lot about how Kidd initially had that great defensive innovation where he sort of took advantage of the fact that the Bucks at the time were the longest team in the NBA, had them swarm the ball, and they weren't very good defending the rim, but they forced so many turnovers that they were able to compensate and be one of the best teams in the NBA. The 2 years after that completely fell off, were somewhere between mediocre to flat out bad. Immediately got better on both ends of the floor when Joe Prunty took over, and then obviously we've seen the massive leap the past 2 years with Mike Budenholzer, where they've consistently been if the best regular season team in all of basketball. Do you think, if not for Kidd's name and his time in New York, he would be a candidate, or does this purely come down to that, or just his relationship with Giannis and the idea that having Jason Kidd as coach would get the Knicks in the room when Giannis is a free agent following next season?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're talking about one of the greatest point guards of all time. And, you know, Dolan saw firsthand what kind of leader he was. But, yeah, his name carries a lot of weight. And you make great points about what happened in Milwaukee when he left. Budenholzer and the Bucks have just become maybe the best team in the NBA, record-wise, at the very least. And, yeah, defensively, Jason's teams really fell off. But also offensively, again, a very rudimentary offense, not a lot of three-point shots. Kidd played in a different era. So, again, he was stubborn to change. And the other thing, like Leon Rose said on MSG Network, we want a coach who's going to work with us in a collaborative effort. And that's another knock on Jason. And that's where Tom comes in. Tom had trouble with management in Chicago and Minnesota, but the beauty of this situation is he's known Leon for many years through the agency and World Wide West. So, you know, that worry is not there. I think, you know, they get along great. And even though these interviews are on video, Leon knows Tom so well from hanging out with him at games and what have you. So Tom has the edge in that respect. I think Tom would have to really blow the interviews to not, you know, get the job, and that's possible. But he's still the leader in the clubhouse. I think Jason is second and Kenny Atkinson third.
You had mentioned, you know, the guys like Fleming and Delaney are you think are sort of just courtesy interviews. Do you think that there's any chance that the Knicks are interviewing them to potentially be lead assistants? And also, is that a role that you could potentially see them offering to Mike Miller if they ultimately, you know, decide to go with a new head coach in the permanent role?
Well, that would be an issue. I know Tom Thibodeau has his guys that he's been with for a long time, and he would love to bring in, obviously, Andy Greer, who's been with him for a long time. He's even with back to the Knicks days, he's a Van Gundy guy, and his brother Larry Greer, who is a Suns assistant right now. He's had a couple of other guys. One of them left for the University of Georgia to be their director of strategy after leaving the Timberwolves. But yeah, I think it's going to be a mandate to have Mike Miller stay on the staff. And the beauty of that is that Jeff Van Gundy loves Miller. Miller was on Jeff Van Gundy's staff, and Tom Thibodeau and Jeff are still great friends. So I don't think Tom would have a problem with Miller. I do think the other name that has come up as a potential assistant from this interview pool, Mike Woodson, you know, Tom doesn't really know Mike, and Mike has a lot of juice in New York, and you know, he's a former head coach who had great success. So I think Tom could feel a little intimidated having Mike on the staff, but I think Mike Woodson would be a great addition. I think he deserves to be back in the league. Again, he should never have been fired. He would not have been fired if Phil Jackson didn't take over. So, but again, Tom has his guys. So it's always an issue. Like, it's becoming more and more where the general manager and the president wants to have a big hand in the staff. And again, Tom has his people.
This is a difficult question because 4 months in, you guys still haven't gotten a chance to talk to him. But what's your assessment on Leon Rose so far? And I guess what I'm really trying to get to is organizational philosophy, because I mean, the Jason Kidd talk in particular, it just sort of feels like more of the same in the sense that the Knicks kind of want to microwave a rebuild by potentially chasing a star. Obviously, to your point, it's far from a foregone conclusion they'd go with Kidd. And in fact, he's not even the favorite, but it just sort of feels like things are tilting towards accelerating the timeline, which again, I mean, you know better than anyone else, is something the Knicks have done again and again and again over the last 20 years. So what's your feel for Rose and I guess his thought process on how the Knicks should best become contenders again?
Just a quick reminder, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Take it from me, a YouTube mechanic who does tons of stuff at home and tries to, you know, I do my best to make car repairs when I can, little things. I'm not going to take my engine apart or anything, but you know, I can recharge my AC. I can change some headlights. You know, I can add some little parts here and there. Currently my project is I'm trying to replace my hitch assembly on my Subaru Forester. Cause I was a dum-dum and left a ball hitch in there for like 2 years and it rusted in. And I can't get it out myself. I might take it to my mechanic and see if they can do something to remove it. But even if they were able to, it's probably going to still be all rusted up and gross. And it might just be a better idea to just replace the whole thing at this point. So I started shopping around. You know, I checked at some of those big box stores, in New Jersey now. Some of the stores are starting to reopen so you can go into some non-essential businesses and, you know, safely take care of some stuff. But honestly, I didn't even, you know, give a second thought to going into an auto parts store because I found Rock Auto thanks to, you know, this sponsorship with Locked On. Ordinarily, you know, when I would go into one of those chain auto parts stores, you know, you go up to the counter and it's, I don't know, I find them to be a little condescending. You know, they act like you should know everything about car repair and about your car. And like, quite frankly, I learn on the fly about my car and I just kind of follow instructions, like as if I'm cooking a recipe or something, to replace parts and do new things. And it's fun to me, but it's not fun when, you know, you go up there and you get asked all the probing questions that you don't necessarily know the answer to off the top of your head. You feel like a dummy then, and then they go ahead and order you your part. But then, you know, you look at the amount after they get done charging you and you go, wow, that seems really expensive. You don't run into that with rockauto.com. All you do is you just go on their website. They have all the different makes of cars right there. Click on your make, click on the model, or sorry, click on the make, click on the year, and then click on your model, and then click on the trim package. And then you've got a whole list of all the parts. You can browse at your leisure. In my case, I went and looked for the tow package and found like 5 different options that I can get depending on how much towing capacity I want, what material I want it to be made out of, all kinds of stuff. And it was super, super easy to check out. So I'm going to be placing my order and making my home YouTube repair soon, all thanks to rockauto.com and the fact that they offered me the same price they would offer anybody. They didn't offer me a higher price than what they would offer a mechanic. They just keep it low for every single person that shops with them. So if you are interested in doing some home auto repairs yourself, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you go to check out, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Leon since probably 2000 when he had his only client, Rick Brunson, as the 12th man on the Knicks. And, you know, Leon really became a star agent, and Wesley helped him out getting him players. And Leon is really all about the star factor, and he's not here just to develop the young players. He's here to bring in at least one or two superstars, because that's how you win championships. And Leon knows it as well as anyone. And he arranged the LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade marriage. All three were CAA clients. So, listen, we've written it since Christmas. The free agency in 2020 is not a big crop. And the hope is that there's going to be a player, a star player, who's going to demand a trade, a la Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, and that next star, that it will be available. The Knicks finally have a lot of assets, including Dallas's two first-round picks. I mean, the trade was a misery so far because of Dennis Smith Jr., and they didn't take advantage of the cap space. But they still have that cap space rolling over, and they have these two future first-round picks that will look good in a package for a disgruntled star. And I mentioned in the original story on Christmas, I mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns. But if Thibodeau is the guy, you know, Towns and Thibodeau did not see eye to eye, and that's going to be a very difficult thing to reunite them. But if someone, another Leon Rose client, such as Devin Booker, as we mentioned, asks for a trade in the next 2 years because the Suns keep losing, you know, I think that Devin Booker would try to get to New York, or, you know, another program, big market, and a winning market. Of course, the Knicks haven't won, so that's a drawback, but still, it's the Suns who have to make the trade. And the Lakers don't have a lot of assets. So you have to give the Steve Mills some credit. He's built up a stash of future assets that could be used in a blockbuster trade.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned in your most recent mailbag, you know, about Booker, which was sort of it certainly got, you know, the Twitter sphere buzzing, you know, people saying, oh, wow, like Booker might be on the radar. You know, how likely are you hearing that something like that could potentially be, though? I mean, obviously he has the ties to Rose, but to me, at least, it seems like it would be difficult for the Knicks to pull that off, considering he just signed his extension. He's in year one of five right now, so yeah. He doesn't have too much leverage to get out. And it might cost, you know, then a really substantial package, sort of similar to like what the Clippers gave up for Paul George last year, or something along those lines. I mean, is this like mostly speculative, you think, based off of his relationship to Rose, or is there anything like a little more concrete coming out from Booker's camp right now?
Well, I mean, the Knicks have these type of players on their radar to see, you know, if they are looking to move. And CAA still runs Devin Booker's career, and Leon Rose obviously is still pretty tight with the agency that he once ran. So if Devin Booker is going to go on the block, then Knicks are going to be the first team to find out. But yeah, of course, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, it's not impossible. And the fact that Rose has a great relationship with Booker, as does Wesley, will help, because Devin, you know, I spoke to Devin during the All-Star break, asked him about Leon, and he was like, he wasn't phony about it. He loves the guy. And that doesn't necessarily mean if Devin asks for a trade and puts the Knicks on his short list, that doesn't mean the Suns have to abide by it, but at least it gives them a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I guess personally, my thought the whole time on that has been, like, I just can't imagine why Phoenix would even think about trading him until he's a year or two out on free agency, and even that is 2 years away. But I guess we will see, and that's sort of the story of the NBA. Things change rapidly with superstars all the time, and the teams that are in position to take advantage of it before that occurs are usually the ones who end up getting those guys. We also wanted to know your thoughts on William Wesley Worldwide West deciding to come on in an official capacity. That was reported on as being a possibility, I think, in pretty much the immediate aftermath of Rose being hired. I guess, why now? And what do you think his role would be, and what difference could he potentially make for the Knicks?
Well, Wesley has been working, you know, behind the scenes since Leon took over, or just helping out, or in Leon's ear. So might as well get paid for it.
Yeah.
And plus, listen, it's a little, he's always been in the shadows, sort of. Like, even with CAA, he never had an official title. The press release when he was hired did not even list any of his past workplaces because it's all unofficial. But we know how much influence he has in the NBA, more so maybe 8 to 10 years ago than now, but still very much involved. And I think it only helps the Knicks' image. Obviously, the Knicks' image is something that needs fixing. James Dolan has done himself no favors for his, silly fights with people like Spike Lee. So with Wesley on board officially, you know, players can look at that and say, you know, the Knicks are moving in the right direction. And again, Wesley will be able to go to games and, you know, he's not supposed to talk to opposing players, but there's no crime chit-chatting. You can't get fined for tampering when you're just making casual conversations. So it's a good move. My only concern is you got two guys in Leon and Wesley who have never worked for an NBA team. Brock Oller is another guy high up in the chain, and this is the most responsibility he's ever had. So there's some inexperience there, and that's why this coaching search is so extended. It's giving them a chance to learn. And, you know, I'm writing a story about, you know, the Spurs way is something that they're interested in, and that's why, you know, maybe they're talking to, you know, Ime Udoka and Hardy. And Kenny Atkinson, I believe, was with the Spurs. And Mike Miller had some time with the Spurs. So this is a great opportunity for Leon and Wes and Oller to talk to other coaches about other teams' philosophies.
Yeah, what's been your thoughts on Rose's, you know, you just mentioned that he's brought in, like, some basketball people. But he's also kind of giving a lot of people more responsibility than they've ever had, which, I mean, that's sort of just how things go in any business, let alone the NBA, where, you know, guys work their way up into, you know, higher positions eventually, and hopefully you just promote the right people. I mean, what's been your general assessment of how he's gone about building his staff so far? I mean, I think personally, most of my worries were that he had never been in an NBA front office before. He'd only been on the agent side, and that this might be a challenge for him if he didn't get good basketball people around him. But it seems to me like that was what he prioritized. And it seems like all the people that he's brought in have been pretty well-respected, like, basketball people from around the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I did a column less than 2 weeks ago, giving him high grades for his first 4 months. And, you know, one of the quotes from someone I spoke to, Leon doesn't think he's the smartest guy in the room, and that's why he surrounds himself with smart people, and he delegates and he listens, and he's done that. And Oller is a terrific cap guy. Leon knows the cap very well too as an agent, because he's obviously dealing with contracts all the time and he's a lawyer. But that was a really smart hire with Oller. And then to keep Scott Perry with that type of familiarity, Scott knows so much about the roster, and he's a good basketball guy. Listen, he made a mistake with Knox. The Dennis Smith Jr. trade is not working out right now, but I think Dennis, at the time, you know, it looked like there was a lot still there, and maybe there still is. But, you know, and he's hired Walter Perrin, who's a terrific, one of the best college scouts in the NBA, and the Knicks had to throw money at him for him to leave a very great franchise in Utah. And, you know, I don't know much about Frank Zanin. I know he was with Billy King, and that didn't work out at all. So I don't know about that hire. But the other ones are very good, and, you know, they have a few extra months to study for the draft, and he's taking every piece of information he can get from the old scouts and the new scouts, and he's going to have to come up with a very tough decision. He doesn't even know where he's drafting yet. We won't know until next month's lottery, but I think Leon is on the right track.
Right. And we also we wanted to I guess you sort of noted the connections Leon Rose has to stars around the league. One of the guys who used to play to the Knicks, who we're now hearing a little buzz about, is Carmelo Anthony. Do you see him having a goodbye tour in New York next year?
Yeah, I mean, the second Leon Rose officially became a Knick, I mean, Carmelo was definitely a candidate. Leon still thinks the world of Carmelo, still thinks he could come in here and teach the young players and be a good role model and not worry so much about his minutes. That's my concern, covering Carmelo for 6 or so years. I just never looked at him as that type of player. I always looked at him as a player who just cared too much about his own individual achievements. So at this stage of his career, hopefully he's learned that maybe it's time to give back and become a mentor to these young players. I know Phil Jackson, sources say that Carmelo was not a great influence on Kristaps Porzingis. In fact, possibly influenced him in a bad way for him to eventually demand a trade. But Carmelo has great respect for Leon. If he came to the Knicks, I'm sure he would have a different tune and he would really work hard to be a good mentor for these young guys.
Yeah, I certainly hope that that would be the case. And hopefully the mutual respect between the two would mean that they would look to, you know, have a more constructive relationship. And it seemed like Melo, you know, in his time since the Knicks, has sort of humbled himself in many ways. First being with Oklahoma City, then with Houston for just a number of games, then having to sit out almost a year before finding a new home in Portland, or over a year, I think, actually.
Yeah. And he could still play. I mean, we saw some games, you know, we saw him live in Portland, and he didn't have a great night, but...
And against the Knicks in MSG, like in January.
Yeah, so he could still play. He's not a good defender. Never really was. But that's the thing that's probably left him the most is defense. But in terms of offense, he still got his moves. He still got a shot. He still got that scoring knack. So, you know, if he signs with the Knicks, it's a question, is he going to start? It depends who else they have at small forward. I mean, the Knicks don't really have a small forward. They traded Marcus Morris, and they didn't promote Kevin Knox. So if he does sign here, he could possibly start even though I'd rather, for the franchise's sake, I'd rather them have a good enough team to where he's coming off the bench.
Yeah, yeah, it'd certainly be better. Well, that actually brings us to our final point that we just wanted to touch on, and obviously it's far out. Still, you know, we're still over a month away from even the lottery and 3 months away from the draft itself. But what do you have anything that you've been hearing about the Knicks as far as the draft, as far as who they're drawn to? Obviously, it seems to be some mutual interest between them and the other Melo, LaMelo Ball, yeah. And, you know, between LeVar Ball making it pretty clear that he wants LaMelo to play for the Knicks. And then the Knicks seem to sort of be reciprocating that. What are your thoughts? You know, Leon obviously had the comment of very nicely saying that this draft is not the strongest and that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of parity in this draft throughout the top 10 and whatever. And there's, you know, a lot of players that are at similar talent levels. What are kind of your thoughts, or, you know, what have you been hearing that they've been thinking about the draft coming up?
Yeah, well, we've written it. Well, first of all, Leon said there are two standouts, and then there's a lot of parity, and there's a great amount of difference of opinion in scouts on these players, and he hasn't come across that as much before. So one of those two players has to be LaMelo Ball. We've reported he's number one on their point guard list. We reported that LeVar Ball would like to maybe try to steer LaMelo to the big market of New York and sell a lot of sneakers. He's already on record saying it would be a good fit. So yes, the lottery means everything. If the Knicks could get up into the top three, I think they'll have a terrific chance of getting him. You know, there's ways of LeVar you know, trying to manipulate things. You don't have to work out for every team, and if they even have workouts, and you could decline to have interviews with certain teams if you don't want to play there. You know that Detroit wants LaMelo Ball. They also need a point guard, so that's probably their biggest competition. If they fall back to 6-9 or 6-10, you know, it's going to be tough to trade up. But I do believe there's a lot of point guards there. Cole Anthony and Halliburton and Hayes. It's a lot of point guards in this draft. I would be surprised if they didn't go with for a point guard. We reported back in late February that scoring point guard was on the top of the agenda list for the scouts to look at. Now there's a new regime with new scouts, new ideas. They have a few more months to, you know, still do more research on these guys. But, you know, right now, if I'd have to say, they're going to wind up with a point guard, and hopefully it's LaMelo Ball, even though he's got some issues. And outside shooting is one of them, and defense is another.
All right, Mark. Yeah, we think that that's a great place to wrap up. People can find you on Twitter at New York Post underscore Berman, obviously in the print edition of the New York Post. Anything you have up coming up that people can look forward to, or obviously you just had that great piece on Jason Kidd?
Yeah, I mean, like just working on sort of a Spurs way story that the Knicks administration is definitely doing research on that organization during these interviews. But yeah, some other things coming up, but just keep reading every day, and it's not easy with no access to the team, but we're still pumping out the stories. So thanks a lot for having me, Alex and Gavin, and I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark, as usual. Look forward to having you on again sometime soon.